Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
God reveals to us out of Psalms 91, but I'm only going to be able to cover just a few today. But we're going to look in Psalms 91, verse 1. If you find it, shall praise the Lord. It is on your screen for your convenience. Let's say this together. How's that sound? Let's all read this together out of King James Version. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. So today's Mother's Day message is simply entitled, He Has You Covered. Look at your neighbor and tell him, God has you covered. God has you covered. We're recording. Everything's ready to go. All right. Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity. And let's ask God's blessings and His anointing upon this fresh word that He's given to us. Father, we love You. We're so thankful for this privilege, again, to be in Your house. We ask that this word go forth in power and demonstration of Your Spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. Holy Spirit, we have felt Your presence in this room in a wonderful way. Thank You for being here. Lead us and guide us and direct us. Bring all things back to our remembrance. Whatsoever has been spoken, whatsoever has been written to us, give us insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what You are saying to the church. And when we leave this place, we will continue to bear much fruit and operate in Your gifts. So confirm Your word with signs and wonders. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I love it when God confirms His word. I'm grateful for the obedience of people that are being used of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit today. The Lord spoke to us. It was something that Sister Linda Wallen had no idea that I would be talking about today, about how we need to be still before the Lord. And I just love it when God is speaking to us. And He is. God is speaking to us. Like we said last Sunday, if there were two things that we need to hear from the Lord, I believe that the warnings from God is, number one, to slow down. Look at your neighbor and tell them, slow down. And then number two, stay in the will of God. I think those are important warnings, important words from the Lord that we all need to hear. I love what this preacher, now you probably have never heard of him before, but I use quite often commentaries. I've got quite a bit. I do a lot of studying. I was given books by many preachers, even relatives, and I'm able to have my hands on these resources. But a pastor, a preacher, one of the greatest, writers that is in a modern time, his name is J.C. Ryle. I just don't like him because his name is J.C. I like what he says. But he wrote this, and I want you to see this. It'll be on your screen. J.C. Ryle wrote, "The highest form of selfishness is a man content to go to heaven alone." That is so powerful. I believe I think if it doesn't do anything, it will convict our hearts. You can come to me, Caleb. It will convict our hearts. It should challenge us that we should not be so self-consumed about ourselves or us four and no more. But we should be thinking about the souls that we come in contact with, people that we meet every day that need Christ in their lives. And so I'm grateful. I'm grateful for a praying grandmother. I'm grateful for a praying mother. These women in my life, a beautiful praying wife. I'm grateful for these women in my life that called on the Lord, called on God on my behalf. How many is grateful today that somebody prayed for you? You would not be here this morning if somebody had not prayed for you. I love it when David Leister, of course, he works quite often on Sundays, but when he first came back, one of the things he said was, "Pastor JC, I sensed that you guys were praying. I knew the church was praying for me." And we were. We were praying for him. And lo and behold, here comes David Leister. Now he's on the board and he's serving in our church. It's amazing, though. I'm grateful that you have been praying for me. I'm so thankful that somebody has prayed for me. I'm grateful for that. I heard this story, and I thought this is one of the most fascinating stories I ever heard. You may have known or heard this story as well. It's about a 9 o'clock prayer. During the Korean War in the 1950s, there grew a famous place called Heartbreak Ridge. Has anybody ever heard of Heartbreak Ridge before? I know they've made a movie out of it, they've written books about it. It was located on what is known as the 38th parallel. There was an American journalist that actually took credit for naming it Heartbreak Ridge. The reason he named it Heartbreak Ridge was because of the many soldiers, both North and South Koreans, that were killed in that area called Heartbreak Ridge. And the reason he called it Heartbreak Ridge is because of the countless of mothers and fathers that lost their sons in the battlefield. It was heartbreaking. On one side was an American foxhole, and on the other side was the communist foxhole. And they were exchanging gunfire back and forth. At one day, one young man, he was about 50 yards in the enemy's territory. He was hit by an enemy's bullet, and he was wounded in his left shoulder. And he was laying there bleeding out, laying there dying. And in his dire desperation, you could hear this young soldier, this young American soldier, you could hear him crying out for help. The soldiers could hear his cries, but nobody dared rescue him. They were afraid to go out into the middle of this two foxholes where there was so much gunfire. Everybody was afraid to move and to rescue and recover him. And then there was one young man, the story goes, that he began, as he was lying in that foxhole, he began to look at his watch. He just kept looking at his watch. And then when the watch turned to 9 o'clock, when it struck 9 o'clock, this young man began to crawl on his stomach all the way to rescue and recover this dying soldier. After he had brought the soldier back into the foxhole, the sergeant asked this young man, he said, "Why were you waiting till 9 o'clock? Why were you kept looking at your watch and waiting till 9 o'clock? And this young soldier, this brave young soldier said, "When I left home to come to the battlefield, my mother promised me that she would pray for me every morning at 9 o'clock. I knew that I would be safe if I went out at 9 o'clock. Are you glad that somebody prayed for you? Are you glad that somebody has been praying for you right now? There are great teaching. There's great elements that we could examine and unpack about prayer. And I want to share just a few of them with you. I'm going to share four truths about prayer. They'll be on your screen. Number one, prayer is the premise to revival. There's no doubt about it. I have watched many of these churches here lately that are growing in numbers, growing in finances, growing is because this church, the secret ingredient is not a secret. It's simply prayer. Prayer is the premise for revival. Look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know the scripture. This scripture was posted days after the pandemic, the COVID pandemic. It was posted all over social media, and it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." How many believe that our nation needs healing? We absolutely need healing. Our church needs healing. Number two, and I'll be back on your screen again. Number two, about truth about prayer. Prevailing prayer brings perpetual revival. So I love the idea, Sister Wallen, that we have revival services and God blesses and we have a great time in the Holy Spirit. But I love the idea where God stretches, perpetuates the revival experience. That it just doesn't happen. It's like young people going to a summer camp. and they go for the week, and they're so excited about God, and then they come back home, and they spread the fire, they spread the spirit of joy and peace and love and hope, and then it just begins to dwindle down after a few days. I love the thought of perpetual revival. I love the thought, Pastor Carl, that every time I walk into the sanctuary, I have great expectation that God is going to show up and He is going to bless. He's going to heal. He's going to minister. He is going to set on fire the very people that need God to touch there. Is anybody in here this morning on this Mother's Day 2025 that says, I need God to revive me? I need God to perpetuate His strength and His glory and His power again in my life. I am not happy with going through the motions. I want to see God do great and mighty things. This is what James 5 and verse 16 says. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Then it says the effectual or effective fervent prayer, heated prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I would like my prayers answered, wouldn't you? I would like God to move on behalf of the prayers that we are sending toward Him. And it's not necessarily all that I'm not trying to work it up, but I believe there is a connection. There is something that happens when you and I begin to be hungry and passionate and begin to say to the judge, bless me. Say to the angel, bless me. I'm not letting go until you bless me. I'm not stopping. I'm not quitting. I'm not halting. I'm not giving up until I see an answer. Can we have somebody with that kind of enthusiasm, that kind of determination, that kind of tenacity that says, hey, there are needs in Blytheville. There are needs in Manila. There are needs in Osceola. There's needs in Lux. There's needs in Gosnell. There is God. We need you in the Boot Hill. Send revival to this place. Prayer brings perpetual revival. Number three, prayer does not need proof. It needs practice. It absolutely needs practice. You know, I think that's where we're failing a lot of times. We want the proof. We want the results. We say, oh, okay, I'm praying for a new job. Pastor Carl, I'm praying for a new job. And so God opens a door. He gives me a new job. And then I stop praying. I'm praying for God to bless my finances, get my finances straight and corrected. And then God blesses me and He gives me what I need to take care of the bills. And then I stop praying. Can anybody hear what I'm saying today? God, I want you to touch me at my college, touch me at my school, touch me with my friends. God, I need you to touch my body and heal me. And then once those things happen, there's the proof. But then we stop practicing. God is calling you and I to pray without ceasing. God is calling you and I to just because we got blessed today does not mean I don't need the blesser tomorrow or the next day or the day after. I need Him every day, and I will not stop praying and communicating and calling on my God. Call on the name of the Lord. Call while He's near. I hear the Holy Spirit say, ask and you shall receive. Knock, it shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. I love what Luke 18 and 1 says. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, he spake this parable unto them, and he said that men ought always to pray and not faint. Can we arrive at that place? He was on his way. We just celebrated this event. He's on his way to the cross. But before he did, he prayed the whole night. And all he did was just to bring his core followers. He brought them with you. The Bible says he was a stone's cast away, and he began to call on the name of the Lord and pray. And then after he'd pray, he would go back and he would check on those core disciples, and he found them sleeping. And he said one word, he said one sentence, one phrase. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Holy Spirit spoke to me yesterday about that. About the weakness of the flesh. And the reason the spirit will always be willing. The reason, Sister Jamie, the flesh is weak is because all we're doing is feeding the flesh. And the flesh gets wore out because we're just feeding it over and over again. And God is saying, no, you need to begin to feed the spiritual man. He's alive. He is well. He wants attention. He wants to bring the nutrients of God's word and God's blessing and his goodness in your life. Would you dare to feed the spiritual man? Number four, the last one. The purpose of prayer is not to change God, but to change us. I don't know how many times I have I have came to God and said, God, I need you to do this, and God, I need you to do that. It's like a laundry list of things, God, I need you to do. There's been times, and I know you have, well, let me just say it like this. I know they have never done this before at Gospel Lighthouse, but I know they have done it in a church down the road where they've come to God and they've said things to God like, God, I need you to change that boss. God, I need you to change my husband. God, I need you to change my, well, not my wife. My wife is perfect. But God, I need you to change my children. God, would you just change their mind? And so we're always asking God to do this and to do that when God is saying, I'm waiting on you to change. How about you look in the mirror for a change? And you change. Listen to Luke 11, verse 1. It came to pass that as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when Jesus stopped praying, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. John also taught his disciples. And this is what Jesus said to them. Everybody knows this prayer. He says, when we pray, we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so as in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When I examine that prayer, I don't see anything about God. I need you to do this and do that. I see a prayer, a template of true prayer of the way that God has called us to pray. But we've ventured off from that, haven't we? Are you glad this morning that somebody prayed for you? Are you glad that somebody prayed for you? You may not know this today. You may not even feel this today. But God has you covered. God has you covered. Look at Psalms 91. This is Moses, and he's written this Psalms. In verse 4, the first part of that scripture, he says, He shall cover thee with his feathers. And under his wings shall thou trust. Cover. Everybody say, cover me. Man, I think about that. Being covered. Growing up, when I was a young little Indian boy, I'm still an Indian boy, but I was a lot younger. I was living in the old house, old place. It was a farmhouse. And I remember I could never say the word cover right. I would always say crover. My older brother and we shared a bed together. I'm 6, he's 8. We're sleeping in the same bed. Brian is sleeping in the bed with me. We're sharing the same. And he would always yank those covers off of me. It's something about the vulnerability that you feel when you don't have a blanket over you, right? I mean, I don't understand this, but this is a concept that a lot of people do. They'll turn the AC down all the way to 67, 65, but then they'll wrap themselves up with 6 or 7 blankets. Did anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen? Someone say, cover me. It was June 21st, 1978. It was on my 7th birthday. A tornado had touched down just a few miles from our country home in Okarchi, Oklahoma. We didn't have a cellar. So my mom gathered all of us kids, my older brother, myself, my little sister Lorinda, my youngest brother Stacy. She gathered all of us under the stairwell under the stairs of this old, old two-story house. I drove the Okarchi a few years back to show my children where I grew up at, and the house is not there anymore. But I'll never forget this. Crystal, I'll never forget my mother. I could hear her praying for our safety. I could hear her praying over us, holding us very close to her. Even during the height of that storm, she began singing some hymns. She couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, but she would sing some of those old hymns. And after the storm had passed, she began to thank God for His protection. That day, we were spared from destruction because Mom prayed. I'm glad that somebody has prayed for me. There's nothing more valuable in life than a praying mother. I want everybody to hear that. Nothing more valuable. Young people, listen to me. You'll be so thankful. You may not feel it right now, but you'll be so thankful for a praying mother. Absolutely be thankful. You know why? Because mothers know how to get a hold of God. They absolutely do know how to get a hold of God. A mother hen, when there is any type of danger, will issue a certain chirp that only her chicks would understand. And then the chicks would run and hide under her wings. One day, a particular hen saw a prairie fire and made the alarming chirp, and her chicks came gathered under her wings. Eventually, after the fire, they found the mother hen who had burnt to death. But amazingly enough, her chicks were still alive under her wings. It's incredible, even in the animal kingdom, of the protection that a mother would offer for her offspring. Mothers give their lives for their children. They literally give from the moment of conception to the moment of birth, even the months, the 39 weeks, even the months of carrying the child, they're literally giving their lives for their children. They sacrifice so much time, so much energy, so much money, even emotions, sacrificing their thoughts, because 99% of their thinking is of their children, thinking about what do I need to do with this baby and what do I need to do with that. They even at times sacrifice their goals. There's there's not a mother in this room who doesn't want the best for their children. I know that to be true. So right now, I applaud every mother in this room. If you're a mother, stand right now. Stand. We want to recognize you, and we want to give you an applause. Look around. These mighty, mighty women of God. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Mother's Day should be every day. There's no doubt about that. Every day should be Mother's Day. Now I'm going to talk to the mothers right now. I want you to look at me. Although you give so much, I do challenge you right now to take time for yourself. Take time for yourself. Don't be prideful. I gave a hotel room for my wife one week, and I said, hey, you're going to go off, and we're not going to bother you. It's just for you and you alone. I gave her everything she needed. I put food in there and everything she needed, but I said, this is you. That lasted for about 30 minutes. She called me. She said, I don't want to be alone. So we all loaded up, and we spent the time in a motel. There's nothing wrong with that. But I do challenge you, take time for yourself. You need it. You need this. You are not doing anyone any favors if you're spent. If you've spent all your energy, spent all your emotions, all your time, you're not doing anyone in a favor. We don't need any heroes. We need our moms. We need our mothers. Have you ever heard this expression? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Has there ever been a time, Susan, in your life where mama wasn't happy? I'm just referencing the machete. That's all I'm referencing. If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. So I want to challenge you to spend some time. This is my assignment. My assignment this morning is to remind every mother that is paying attention, Every mother that's listening, every mother under the sound of my voice, my assignment today is to remind you that God has got you covered. God has you covered. Quit worrying. Quit operating in fear and anxiety. Quit worrying about everything. Let go and let God. Why? Because you find yourself under the shadow of the Most High, under His wings, and find comfort, a refuge, a place of peace, a place of hope. Three things, real quickly, God has us covered from. There's actually a lot more, but I've narrowed them down to three. Number one, traps. Everybody say traps. Psalms 91 and 3, the first part of that said, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. God wants to protect you from the enemy who wants to set you up to destroy your life. He wants to trap you, ensnare you. Number two, calamities. Everybody say calamities. Psalms 91 verse 3, the second part of that scripture said, and from the noisome pestilence. I'm going to teach you something here right now. The Hebrew word for noisome is the word haval. And this is what it means. It means, literally means, rushing calamities. It means even the word naughty. It means perverse things. It means wickedness. God wants to rescue and protect you and shelter you and cover you from the noisome pestilence. Your child right now, you may not even know this, but your child may be involved in secret sins that you're not aware of. But I'm going to tell you, God has you covered. God has you covered. Think about that. Number three, the last one, nighttime fears. Psalms 91 and verse 5, the first part of that said, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. Nothing. I know this to be true. Nothing creates more anxiety than not knowing where your children are or what they're doing at nighttime. When you're laying in bed and you're wondering, thank God for Life 360. Caleb's brilliant. Congratulations to Caleb. I'm so proud of this young man. He's graduated. He still has one more test to take. But he's graduated. But there was a day that he thought he could outsmart his dad. So he turned off the Life 360. Guess what? I got a hold of him. And I said, son, did you turn off Life 360? Yes. I said, don't ever turn that off again. Because we are watching you. We want to know where you're at. We're praying for you. Nothing creates more anxiety than not knowing where your children are at. Listen to what Dake's commentary says about this. He says, nighttime is a time of many terrors, treasons, plunders, robbery, murders, evils, and diseases. Why at nighttime? The nighttime terrors. Listen, we don't have to, Pastor Jamie, we don't have to be all worried all the time. We've got to set it to God and say, God, I'm covered by your wings. I'm covered. You've got me covered. This is what Jesus says about this. John 3 and verse 19, he says, and this is the condemnation that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And so, this is what's so wonderful as a Christian mother, as a Christian parent, as a believer in God's Word. We're thankful today that Jesus is the light. He is the light. And Jesus, because He has the light, He can illuminate. He can protect. He can guide. He can show His glory even in the dark times of our lives because God has us covered. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, He has you covered. He has you covered. So how do I apply this to my life? So what? Now what? How do I go from auditing this message to applying it? How can I make this message, He has you covered, count for life? Remember our opening scripture. It said in Psalms 91 and verse 4, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. I believe the best way to make true and pure application of this message is to remain under His wings, to remain covered. It's just like when the enemy wants to pull those covers off of you, when he wants to vacate that blessing of God off your life, when he wants to ensnare you or trap you, when he wants to try to cause noisome pestilence or calamities, rushing calamities in your life to set you up, to destroy your life, when he's trying all he can to put fear in your life and make you have torment, constantly torment, you can remind yourself today that God has me covered. This is the thing about being under the wings of God. When you're under His wings, that is not the time to ruffle feathers. That is not the time to ruffle His feathers. That is not the time to be what we say antsy or anxious. That's not the time to worry. That's the time to enjoy the refuge and the peace and the greatness and the hope and the strength of God. I love what someone said. I love this thought. When you're under His wings, don't find yourself ruffling feathers, because men who row the boat don't have time to rock it. Find yourself under His wings. I like the thought. You know, insurance companies, they offer something for your vehicle called full coverage. Full coverage insurance, right? I will say this. Not everybody in Mississippi County has full coverage insurance. Amen. But you got to think about that. Every time I get in a vehicle, I'm always pleading the blood of Jesus over my life. I'm always asking God to cover us. But I want you to think about this. There's nothing compared to what God offers you and I. Nothing. Not only are we covered here on a temporary planet, our temporary home, but we also have full coverage insurance for eternity. No premium. The only premium was met with Jesus Christ. He was died on a cross for you and I. He shed His blood on the mercy seat that we might have eternal life. It didn't stop at death, though. He rose the third day, overcame death, hell, and the grave. And now He says, I'm the conqueror, but I'm making you more than conquerors through me. Because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Let's stand together in this room. What if we all determined this is what I want to do? I want to get covered. I want to be covered by God. I want to be covered by His blessings. I want to be covered in His presence. I want to be that little chick that hears that chirp of the Holy Spirit. My grandmother Brown used to say, John Kerry, I love the name Kerry. John Kerry, she would say, a little bird told me, and when I was a little boy, I didn't want to be called John Kerry, I wanted to be called Pedro. But little Indian boy walk around barefoot, I used to walk around the house when my grandmother Brown said, John Kerry, a little bird told me, I used to walk around the house, look out the window, find that little bird. I'd walk outside and I'd look for that little bird that's been telling on John Kerry. Because she said, John Kerry, the little bird told me that you did this, you did that, you've been drinking out of the Kool-Aid, you've been doing all these things. And it took me till I was almost 20 years old to finally realize that little bird she was talking about was the Holy Spirit. He's here today. He's inviting you right now, mothers. He's inviting you to put your trust in God. I would like for the mothers, the children that are here, get around your mother. Just find us a place over here and pray. Everybody get around your mother. If you have your mothers here, listen, my mom's not here. She's in California. And I pray for her. But I got my beautiful wife, and she's here. So if our children will go ahead and get around, I know some of you, Pastor Chris, it'll be a lot easier if you go to where Caleb's at. And let's do this. Now, listen, I know some of you, you may be a mother here today, and you don't have any children that are here. Or you maybe you don't have your mother here. Guess what's so beautiful about Gospel Lighthouse Church? We believe in adopting. And so, if you see somebody standing by themselves, I want you to adopt them right now. I want you to adopt them and say, hey, you're going to be in our family today. You're part of our family today because we're going to pray with you. We believe we're the family of God. I want to pray with you today. And I'm going to pray, but I want you to pray for your mother. I want you to pray for your wife. I want you to pray for your mothers today. Father, in the name of Jesus. What a beautiful, beautiful service this has been. We pray your blessings, God, upon these women, these mighty women of God who spent so much. But they do it because they love their children. They do it because they love their husbands. They do it because they love their God. That's why we're thankful for these mighty women of God. We pray anointing, a special anointing upon their lives. From this moment on, nothing, Lord, they'll never be the same. They're going to see a new light, a new peace, a new hope, a new strength, an energy, Father, a momentum in their lives, God, that will carry them to their destiny. We pray your blessings upon every one of them, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. And if they're worrying, God, or worrying about money, if they're worrying about their children, their future, God, just give them assurance, peace that passes all understanding, as your word tells us in Philippians chapter 4. God, give them hope. Let them know that God, to whom his mind is stayed on you, you'll bring us perfect peace. I pray, Father, for complete peace in their lives. And Lord, I pray, touch their physical bodies. Give them strength. Heal their bodies. Some are dealing with arthritis. Some are dealing with sickness, sinuses, allergies, knee problems, back problems, all kinds of ailments, Father. You said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. And we just declare your word to heal. We declare your word to restore and to strength, God. Strengthen, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now protect them. And let them know right now that their best days are before them. Some need comfort, Father. They've lost loved ones. Some needs comfort. Some in this room have lost their mothers recently and they feel a void, but God, you can bring us that void. You can bring us that peace and that hope of reunion. I pray, God, that you'll strengthen and bless and honor. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that we give you all the glory. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Someone say hallelujah. Wow, God is so good. So I have a word for you, and I shared it Wednesday night, and I told the people Wednesday night that we're here that I would share it again. The Lord told me earlier last week, as I was in my time of prayer and studying, he said that there were people who were, and I don't know who you are, and I don't have to know, but you were moving forward. God is thrusting you forward. Great things are happening in your life. And what I saw in the spirit was the enemy trying to stop the momentum, to halt the momentum that's been carrying you through. And God said that devil is not going to win. That devil's going to be destroyed. That's trying to stop. And this is what he said. Keep pushing forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. Now is not the time to be intimidated by the tactics of the or the strategy of the devil. Now is not the time to just lay back and say, oh no, I'm just gonna. No, go forward. Get up and say, today God's with me. If God be for me, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is so good. One last thing. Hey, if your mother's still around and she's maybe not here or somewhere else, call that wonderful woman if you're able to. If there's any animosity, any trepidation, any things that just not right, make things right with your mom. Make them right. Let there be peace. I know it's a difficult task, perhaps. I know I've been a part of a ministry for a long, long time, and I know the calculus of family. I absolutely do. I know that there are times that people be offended and they get their feelings hurt and they hold on to grudges. I know all that. But listen, nothing's worth missing heaven over. And no one's worth missing heaven over. Get some things right. Make some things right. Walk in love and walk in peace. Amen. God is so good. Let's lift our hands toward heaven today.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.